Good evening.
Hello.
It's good to be with you once again on this lovely Thursday evening. My, most of you look very serious tonight. You look like an Albanian who just got his cow stolen. Have you ever seen an Albanian without a cow? I was pretty excited. You're all enlightened. There's absolutely no one who is not enlightened. What do you feel about yourself? What do you say? You believe you have a problem? You believe something is wrong somewhere? There is only one way to deal with problems, and that is to drop it totally and completely. Let's not beat around the bush. Have you ever beat around the bush? But let's not do that. We don't want to use techniques, sadhanas, to become enlightened or to find ourselves or to do anything to ourselves. We just want to drop the world. Stop thinking about the world. Forget about the world. The only reason you think something is wrong someplace is due to the fact you think. Your mind is always active. Your mind waves are always moving. And the only reason you think, of course, is due to the past. Thoughts about the past create your future. When you begin to understand that there's no past and there's no future, then there's no one to think. Thinking is your downfall. Whether you're thinking about good thoughts or bad thoughts, makes no difference. Good thoughts lead to bad thoughts, and bad thoughts lead to good thoughts. It's all thoughts. And you are not supposed to think. You are not put on this earth to think. Come to think of it, you're not even put on this earth. What are you doing here? You don't exist. You've never existed, and you will never exist. Why don't you believe me? There used to be a song like that. If only you can realize how beautiful and wonderful it is not to think, not to have any thoughts coming into your mind. All thoughts will come into your mind, but you learn to drop it. The problem is not with the thoughts that come to you, but with your holding on to those thoughts, giving them energy, giving them power. For only you can give them power. They have no power of their own. They cannot hurt you by themselves. Only you give them power by allowing the thought to control you. By looking at the thoughts and fearing or reacting to them, that's where all the trouble begins. How many of you can really sit in the chair for an hour without playing the TV, listening to the radio, reading the newspaper, or doing anything else, just sitting in the quiet for an hour? That's all you need, is 1 hour. Most of us cannot stand to be by ourselves where nothing is happening for an hour. We always have to be doing something, don't we? If we're alone, we have to play the television, or we have to play the radio, or we have to listen to a tape, or we have to read. But we don't like to be by ourselves where nothing is happening. Yet I say to you, this is the best time of your life, to be by yourself with absolutely nothing going on. I know that some of you are afraid to do this because you're afraid of the thoughts that come to your mind. The thoughts just seem to jump at you when you're not watching something or reading something. But this is how it begins. You have to allow the thoughts to jump at you, to try to take you over completely, and become the witness to all of this. To watch how your thoughts control you. Watch how you react. Whenever you think of a pleasant thought, your countenance becomes happy. Whenever you think of an ugly thought, you become afraid, perturbed, upset. Thoughts have that power to do all this to you. I've told you the story before of the false telegram, where Mrs. Smith received a telegram saying her husband has been killed. He was out of town on business. And she becomes violently upset, screaming and crying. Then the telegraph company calls it back and they say, "We're sorry, it was another Mrs. Smith. It wasn't you at all." But look what happened to her when she believed that. Think of the thoughts that make you angry, make you upset, make you feel out of sort, make you feel as if there's something wrong. Understand that there can be absolutely nothing wrong anywhere at any time. It's just that things are not going the way that you want, or the way that you think they should go. Let's take the AIDS epidemic. We believe that's terrible. And I suppose rightly so. But if we look at the picture from a higher viewpoint, we see that this is a cleansing of the earth. That sounds strange, I know. We can take any subject. Wars, cataclysms, earthquakes, anything, pestilence, disease. There is no God punishing anybody. There are no mistakes. There's not somebody trying to kill you because you cannot die. It's really a joke to me when I see people trying to die. And believe they're dying. Nobody was ever born. Nobody dies. all of these things take place in your mind. But since you feel they're taking place, and you believe in these things, see it from a higher viewpoint. When there's an overpopulation, the animals know how to take care of this. Lions eat the sheep. All these things take place when there's an overabundance of animals, of sheep. When there's an overpopulation, cataclysms begin. Wars start. Man's and humanity's and man become stronger. If you view it from a human standpoint, you'll be mad at me for saying these things. But we're not talking from a human standpoint. We're seeing it from above. Everything is right. There are no mistakes. This doesn't mean, if you're seeing this from a human standpoint, you just to sit down in the chair and say, all is well, nothing is wrong. When in your heart you're feeling sad and frightened, and you think everything is wrong. This is hypocrisy. As long as you feel that there is a mistake or something is wrong in this world, it's up to you to help to correct it. Ironic, isn't it? If you see we're being attacked by the Albanians, we have to take action. We have to find those cows so the Albanians won't get mad at us. As long as you feel there's something wrong, you have to do something. If you see your brother, your sister, your fellow human being hit by a car, it's up to you to render service. Yet, if you can rise above this, you will feel and see a completely different picture. All is well. All is exceedingly well. Remember, all the things that you're afraid of, the things that seem wrong in your life, are taking place within your mind, within yourself. You feel all this. You can even prove this in your humanhood. You may get up in the morning, feel depressed, feel that you have a headache, feel there's something wrong with you. And when you go out into the sunlight, the trees are still there, the flowers are still smiling at you. The buds are coming out in the trees. There's absolutely nothing wrong with nature. When there's a war, bombs are dropped, cities are destroyed, people are killed, so forth. When everything settles down, the grass begins to grow again, the animals seem to flourish again, the apple trees bloom once more, the oranges come out in abundance, the wheat grows, life continues as it appears. The secret of life is to be in tune with the way nature works. Do not feel mad or upset. Never feel as if something is wrong, or somebody's trying to hurt you, or there's a God trying to punish you. All is well. And everything is unfolding as it should. Again, drop all those thoughts. As soon as your mind starts telling you something is wrong, drop the thought. Do not really change the thought for another thought. Just drop it. It is true, people have been meditating for a long time. People have been practicing atma-vichara, self-inquiry. People have been practicing the witness consciousness and so forth, are able to do this faster than the other people. They're able to drop their thoughts and keep the mind still for a while. If you have not practiced any type of meditation or done anything in your life, it will appear to be a little more difficult. You will not be able to drop the thought so fast. For even when you drop the thought, other thoughts will attack you and make you feel depressed, make you feel afraid of something. That's what thoughts do. Yet you remember it's only a thought. It is only your thought that does this. Nothing else. Yet you may say, what if I'm in pain? What if I'm dying of cancer? Again, most of you don't understand this too well, I suppose. Nobody dies of cancer. Nobody is in pain. It appears as if this is happening. The appearance is very strong in some people. Less strong in other people, and doesn't exist in some others. As you know, you can take the same pain, and five different people will be experiencing the same pain. One person will feel as if they're dying, another person will feel as if they're just hurting, another person will try not to think about it at all. Another person may feel as if it's not even happening. Everyone experiences these things differently in accordance with your state of consciousness. But the top of the line is that there is no pain, there is no death, there is no disease. From our talk on Sunday, some of us are still having trouble with creation. We still feel creation comes out of consciousness. Consciousness is creation. for we still have a feeling. And everything has to come from somewhere. The finite mind cannot grasp that creation comes from nothing and doesn't even exist. It is difficult, I admit, for the mind to accept anything like this. This is why I say, do not accept what I say. Do not even believe what I say. But try to demonstrate this for yourself. Try to prove these things for yourself. For all you know, I may be as crazy as a loon. And I am. What's a loon? Exactly. Looney Tunes. And you shouldn't go around talking about these things to most people. You should always work on yourself. Do not try to prove anything to anyone. Do not try to show off to anyone whatever you know or whatever you think. It is only your experiences that count for you. And cause your body to disappear, even though it appears to be there. Anyway, you get this creation business out of the way. There is no creation. You do not exist. You have never existed. To some of you still don't know what I'm talking about. Always remember the dream condition. Where does the dream come from? Does it come from God? Or from consciousness? Or from pure awareness? From Satchitananda? Of course not. A dream just appears. The whole dream is taking place in your mind. You are the dreamer. And it seems almost impossible to understand to a person who's never had a dream, that in the dream, all kinds of things are taking place. There are vast cities, there are universes, you're doing all kinds of things in the dream, and all that's taking place within your mind. To one who has never dreamt, it sounds very illogical, doesn't it? How can all these things be taking place in your mind? Yet you're dreaming, and you are proving it to yourself that dreams exist. Therefore, someone came to you and argued with you and told you, I can't believe that. For they've never had the experience of a dream. And you tell them what you've been dreaming about, they'll say, that's impossible. That just doesn't make sense. I can never accept this. You tell me the same thing when I tell you that you're dreaming today, now. You are dreaming the mortal dream. Everything about your life is a dream. Everything. And you tell me I'm crazy. I'm out of my mind. This is true. Yet one day, you have the dream yourself. And you become totally fascinated. You have become aware of the dream world. And I say to you right now that you're dreaming. This is all a dream, a bubble that will one day burst, and you will be completely, totally free. This freedom is bliss. It's like this. You're having a horrible dream. You're back in the Inquisition days. And you're being tortured. Your fingers are cut off. Your toes are cut off. Your nose is cut off. You're being severely tortured. All of a sudden, you awaken. And you're in bliss compared to what you've been going through, aren't you? You're in total bliss. And so it is with this world. You go through so many experiences. Think of all the experiences you went through today. You did this, you did that, you went shopping. You worry about what you're going to eat. You concern yourself with your neighbors. This thing has worked. You worried about this. You thought about this. You took this action. You took that action. And you forgot what I told you. Whenever you come here, you forgot to remember it's a dream. It isn't real, even though you're feeling it, even though it pains you sometimes, even though you have to go through many experiences. Yet you do the same thing in the dream. The dream ends. And you feel so grateful and so blissful because the experiences of you being tortured in that room. So some of you are being tortured in this life. Maybe because of lack or limitation or disease or marital problems. Whatever. Yes, it's all a dream. You do not exist the way you appear. If you're only able to think about these things during the day when you go about your affairs, you will become the happiest person on earth. For this type of thinking will cause you not to react to person, place, or thing. You will not react. You will not feel somebody's doing something to you, somebody's trying to hurt you, somebody doesn't like you. All those thoughts will disappear when you do not react. But you have to have a reason for not reacting. And the reason is a dream. You're beginning to understand, slowly but surely, that this is all a dream. Therefore, if you react to the dream, you become further involved. That's why we discuss things like karma. Whenever you react to a situation, to a condition, whether you're justified or not justified, for whatever reason, all you are doing is accruing karma. By accruing karma, I really mean you're making it tougher for you to break away. You're making it harder for you to awaken. For the word karma itself means action. And whenever you perform an action, you are causing yourself to be drawn deeper into karma. But when you begin to see you are not the doer, then you refrain from reaction. When I say you are not a doer and you refrain from reaction, always remember what I'm talking about. I do not mean that you sit still and do absolutely nothing. It is some people's karma to do this, to sit and do absolutely nothing. But most of us are in this world doing things. Yet if you can only accept the fact that you are not the doer, the things that you do will become better than you can ever imagine. You are taking action and non-action. You are working and no work. You are thinking with no mind. You have become free. Therefore, never think or believe that this kind of a teaching, Advaita Vedanta, will make you not to love your family, will cause you to lose your job, will cause you to have problems. On the contrary, if you understand what I'm talking about and doing this in the right way, you will continue to do anything and everything you have to do. And because you're no longer perturbed, your body will not feel stress, and things will be much better for you. All is well. All is well. Drop all the pretending. Drop all your hurts. Drop the self-pity. Drop everything. Let go. Awaken. Be free. Freedom is your real nature. You have always been that. Yet you're allowing the thoughts to cover up that freedom, so it appears. You're allowing your thoughts to tell you something else. And you're caught up in the dream world. believing it's the real world. Another factor to remember is whatever is happening to you in your life disappears when you go to sleep, doesn't it? When you're in deep sleep, none of these things matter any longer. When you're in deep sleep, nothing is happening. The person who is sick forgets about their sickness. The person who is angry forgets about their anger. The person who feels depressed forgets about the depression. The person who feels hurt forgets about the hurt. That's why when you wake up in the morning you say, I had a good sleep, I feel refreshed. The reason you say you feel refreshed is because in the state of deep sleep, all of your physical problems, all of your mental problems that you have when you're so-called awake, have gone into abeyance. They're not here any longer. It is explained in Advaita Vedanta that the mind is now resting in the heart center. When the mind rests in the heart center, nothing ever exists again. Nothing is there. But that which always is. When you awaken to this world, the mind rushes from the heart center back into the brain, and you become cognizant of the body, of the world, of your problems, of everything. Therefore, when you think about this intelligently, you will see, how can these things be real if they disappear when I go to sleep? The word real means something that is present all the time. Therefore, when you feel depressed and you fall asleep, the depression is not there. So it's not present all the time. Therefore, it's not real. And this is true of all the aspects of your life. Everything. Everything that you can think about is not present when you are in deep sleep. So it cannot be real. Even the so-called good things of your life, your beautiful home, your beautiful girlfriend or boyfriend or wife or husband, your beautiful children, your car, your great bank account, all of your investments, all of these things disappear when you're in deep sleep, as if they never existed. When you wake up, they exist once more. It's like having a recurring dream. We'll go back to the Inquisition. You're being tortured a little more every day. Now they've cut off your fingers and your nose and your toes. You wake up during the day, you go about your business. You go to sleep at night and you start dreaming again. The Inquisition continues. Your eyeballs are popped out. All these things are happening to you. Morning comes, you wake up, you go about your business. You go to sleep again. And the Inquisition continues, so there's nothing left of you. All the parts are gone. And you wake up again. And you're in this world. This is exactly the same thing I'm talking about. This is exactly what is happening to us. We believe this world is so real. It appears so real. It's like new people always tell me when I talk about these things, well, Robert, I can walk over to you and pinch you, and you'll feel the pinch. You can also do that in the dream, can't you? If you see me in the dream, you tell me, Robert, this is not a dream because I can pinch you. So you pinch me in the dream, but it's a dream pinch. It appears as if I felt it in the dream, doesn't it? So you see, the same thing happens in this wake-up world as in the dream world. If you can only get what I'm talking about, you will become forever free. This world is not real. You're wasting your time thinking about this world, getting involved in this world, and doing all the things you're doing. What you should try to do is to awaken. Another thing I have to share with you, if you believe that this world is real, you will also believe that the other worlds are also real. You will believe that when you die, you will be free. That's like the born-again Christians who can't wait to go to heaven. They say how rotten this world is, but when they die, they'll be in glory. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
Yeah. Amen.
But I say to you, if you have not found yourself in this life, you will not find yourself in the afterlife. All you do in the afterlife is take a break for a while. You take a rest by going to sleep. But then you have to awaken once more, whether you're on an astral plane or a causal plane, or wherever your delusion takes you. And you become aware of the same problems, the same stuff you had before. There's no end to it. The end only comes when you awaken. Therefore, do not think that death is heaven sent. It is only a continuum. You have to awaken now. When you awaken now, you will realize there's absolutely no place to go. There's nothing to become. You will just be as you've always been. effortless, choiceless, pure awareness. Your true nature. All is well. Feel free to ask questions.
To fathom the unfathomable, nor measure the immeasurable. For he who asks occurs, and he who answers occurs, there remains only silence. And it seems to me that all of these thoughts and words so much, as soon as thoughts and words enter the equation, there's a departure from the reality, seems to me. And these are all words, only a limited.
Is that your own experience, friend?
It's still intellectual.
Have your own experience. Have your own experience and drop all the intellectual. Go home and tear up the Bible.
that quote wasn't from the Bible.
Tear up all your quotes.
Tear up what?
All the quotes.
All the quotes.
Where do they come from?
All the quotes.
Stand all naked.
Okay.
Stand naked in the face of God. Have no crutch. Whether it's myself, you have a crutch on, or a book, lean on no one. All those quotations are making your head swim. You're filled with quotations. Mystical fishing. That's nice. That's good. But what does it do to us? It adds on to all the stuff. We want to empty ourselves. Not add on to ourselves. That's important. We do not want to add on further knowledge. It is the knowledge that keeps us bound. We want to give up all knowledge.
Well, you call it nice and good then. When it's our bondage.
Say that again.
Why do you call it nice and good when it's actually our bondage?
What's nice and good?
You just said that his quotes were nice and good.
They're
I'm
nice
quoting
and good.
You.
They're nice and good if you want to listen to them. They're nice and good if you enjoy them. They sound nice to most people. Most people enjoy hearing beautiful sayings, poetry, biblical quotations. Therefore, they sound nice and good.
They sound nice and good to me.
Good.
That's nice.
Yeah, that fits you. So due to you, fine.
whatever you accept.
I'd throw them on the garbage can if I were you.
What can I have to do?
But I must do.
That's good.
It's nice and good.
Good for nothing.
It's good for nothing.
Robert, I was going to suggest maybe an eye for an eye. That sounds either nice or good.
A knife for an eye, a tooth for a tooth, a knob for an arm.
The question I was going to ask is, my understanding of my conversation is perfect because it can arise. It doesn't affect you in any way. However, there seems to be a little bit of a problem because when there are no thoughts, the mind is pretty free. That's fine. But then the thoughts rise up again. And sometimes you can observe them, and other times you're caught up in them. What is the point at which, that subtle point at which you can, you know, de-identify and disengage from them and do that more and more? I mean, how do you do that?
Without
thoughts arising and not having them affecting you.
Without getting into the answer that you want to hear, you simply let go. Just drop them. Simple. Drop them. You can do it. Drop the thoughts.
By just being yourself.
Forget about being yourself. Drop the thoughts. Being yourself is another thought. See, back in our minds, we remember all the teachings we've had over the years. And these teachings conveniently come up to the mind at certain times and tell us certain things. And we think we're making progress. But we're not really making progress. We're simply adding more thoughts to the fire, fuel to the fire. By thinking these thoughts and replacing them with these thoughts, we just have to drop all thoughts.
What about the process in which it seems like there's silence, and then all of a sudden you discover that you're just at a more and more subtle layer of thought? I thought there was silence, and yet the thoughts now are just more subtle.
If you have discovered that about yourself, drop it. Drop that. Make the whole thing simple. Since your real nature is consciousness, there is nothing you have to do to remove the thoughts. There's no procedure, there's no process. You simply have to drop the thoughts. I know we can talk about self-inquiry. We can talk about witnessing. We can talk about many methods. But we're trying to get to the point when we understand that these things are for people like going to school. They go from grade to grade. And have to do all these practices and all these sadhanas. But most of you have been with me for a couple of years. And you now realize when I tell you drop it, I mean just that. Drop everything. Stop yourself. Do not become intellectual. Do not become spiritual. Do not become anything. Just drop the thoughts and become free, which you already are.
Without seeming too obtuse, what's the difference between dropping it and repressing it?
Repressing it is when you feel it and you think about it and you hold it and it goes deep into your subconscious somewhere. But you still feel it. You feel that if it's real, it's true. But dropping it is when you totally transcend it, transmute it, just drop it. Drop it. You must be out of your mind.
You're nuts.
That sounds good, because I think that would be your goal. And then I get to work on, I have to deal with some people, and I have to ask some questions to get data. So would it be proper to go through the procedures, or I'm in a dream, I'm asking this person these questions, but as I know it's in a dream, we're not really here, I'm not here, they're not here. Then I have to write a report. And I'm not really writing a report. There's no report. There's no me. And I'm writing this report. Or, rather than that, do you suggest that I say, when I get the thought, I should be writing a report now, I just push away the thought and my hands just miraculously go up and they start writing and I keep pushing away every thought and refuse to analyze the data and they just keep writing and writing and 50 minutes later, the report is done, and I can submit it, and it's over. Are you suggesting it would be better for me to realize it's all a dream and be putting effort into it and trying to mentally use my mind but realize it's a dream, or to put away all thoughts, no thinking, refuse to think, but my hands and mind will automatically just produce the reports, and it'll just happen?
If you refuse to think, the source will be stronger than ever. You do not refuse to think. You simply just take a breath and let go of the whole thing. It's all gone.
Will the hands automatically write the report?
Everything will take care of itself. It's so simple that I can't make it any simpler.
What about the idea of I'm not, this is really a dream, and I am, it appears that I'm thinking about this data to produce ideas to put on a report, but this is really a dream, and let my, and then move there with that mind that doesn't exist and create the report, but realizing this is all a false dream, but allowing myself to get involved into this false dream and write this report, put this data together, but realize it's a dream, and there is no me, there is no hands, there is no pencil, there's nothing, but we're doing it.
No.
That isn't the right approach.
No.
The right approach is to drop all thoughts, not think about the data, but to, somehow the report will be manifested.
The report will be manifested.
I see.
Let go, drop everything, forget about it, and be free. Total simplicity.
It would help if I had a first step that I could understand.
If you want steps, we go back into self-inquiry. Or you can run up and down the steps. What are steps? First step, second step, third step.
And 12th step.
12th step. We want to forget about steps. We want to get to the stage where we just are. We're totally free without thinking about it. We do not have any thoughts about anything at all. We do not think that we're free. We do not think we're not free. We just do not think. Just be yourself. That's what I mean when I say just be yourself. Yourself does not have to think about being itself.
If somebody was watching me who didn't realize I wasn't really here, would it appear to them that I was asking questions to get data, and then would it appear to them that I was writing a report, even though I'm not aware that I'm writing a report because there is no me and there is no report?
And it will appear to them wherever they're coming from. Wherever they are in consciousness, that's how it will appear to them.
So they may say, I saw you writing a report, but I'd be unaware of it, huh?
No, you'd be aware of writing a report, but you would not be aware of writing a report.
Both
are true.
Both.
You will be writing a report and you'll be aware of writing a report. But then in the same instance, in the same consciousness, you will be aware that there's nobody writing a report.
Well, that's kind of what I was describing as the first scenario that you rejected. That's what I was trying to say, is aware that I'm doing it, and yet aware that there is no me and there is no world at the same time.
Simultaneously.
Yeah.
It will happen at the same time.
You can buy that one?
That'll work.
Okay, the only difficulty is my mind might have to make some analytical effort to analyze the data, but at the same time, if I realize there is no mind, there is no me and no report, maybe okay.
So you're realizing again. Do not realize those things at all. Just be yourself. Just do it. It'll be done.
Robert, in other words, you mean just let the mind do whatever it's supposed to do and let the body do whatever it's supposed to do. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay, so you're just thinking about
it. Everything will take care of itself. You have a background that is analytical. And you always want to analyze things and place things in a proper perspective. What I'm saying is forget everything.
Does it kind of like go back to what you said before, which is everything is predestined, so let it do whatever it's supposed to do?
True. Yes.
And get cut when it's supposed to
be. Everything will take care of itself.
It likes it, it deals with trust. Trust.
Well, you can say that, but there has to be somebody to trust.
Yeah.
Those things take care of themselves.
But his analysis is so good, he should have all the more understanding that he can totally trust.
Well, at a level, you have to trust. Realizing. See, we're getting all the levels mixed up.
Not that I'm not.
On the level you're speaking on, and this is true, on that level. But when I say, drop it, this is the ultimate. There's nothing else. Drop it. Stop believing you have to write a report and you don't have to write a report. You have to have an analysis, you don't have to have an analysis. Drop the whole ball of wax.
Is dropping it above witnessing?
Yes. It's above everything.
Because it seems to me what Fred was saying was sort of that he could go ahead and function while witnessing, like watching himself and play or something, which you have recommended at times.
That's on that level, yes. We're getting all these levels mixed up. On a certain level, you have to practice self-inquiry and ask yourself to whom these things come. You have to do what you have to do. But tonight, I'm speaking to you on the highest level and I say, drop it.
But we're in kindergarten. Maybe we're not capable of dropping it.
Sure you are. Just by being here, you are. Drop it.
Come on,
drop it. Say that again, what'd you say?
When you say drop it, drop what?
Drop it!
What's what?
What? Yes, I'm not sure of that.
It is the whole ball of wax. It is the whole universe, your body, the dream state, everything.
In other words, thinking just wake up.
Yes.
So Robert, if we're confronted with a situation, say a new job dealing with some serious matters, and you have to do a lot of critical analytics and creative thinking. There's a lot of pressure. It requires, you know, concentration of our whole being and dealing with other people. That we can do all of that. We can go through and use all those functions and at the same time be free of it.
Exactly. That's it.
Robert, would you go into this panel a little bit more? You're saying to Jay. That's true on one level, but there are so many levels. Would you be willing to explain some of these different levels that maybe we might get some kind of an idea, a better idea?
Well, there's the witnessing level. We become the witness of everything that's happening. There's a level when you just watch your breath and pay attention to your breath. There's a level when you practice self-inquiry and inquire when these things come. There's a level when you practice the I Am meditation.
You're actually at a different perceptual level at each of these stages?
Yes.
You're perceiving things at each of those that you wouldn't perceive at one or the other.
Yes. But what I'm saying tonight is to drop everything.
Yeah.
Just drop it and become free.
Is that the same as surrender, or is that even beyond surrender?
It's beyond surrender. Because when you drop it, that's instantaneous. Drop it is right in the now, in the present second. There's no one to surrender. There's no past, there's no present. There's no one to do anything. You just drop it and you're finished. Well, of course. Because when you drop it, you drop everything. You drop your attachments, you drop everything that you can ever imagine. You let go of everything. But it's beyond letting go, it's beyond the attachments. You don't even think of those things.
How is it beyond letting go?
Because there has to be somebody to let go.
Does there?
Well, doesn't there have to be someone to drop it?
No. There's no one left to drop it. You
but
just
who
drop
are you
it.
Talking to when you say drop it?
I'm not talking to anyone.
The next day is dropping it. And that's the next year, or something.
Right.
But that's next week.
Next week we're going to drop dropping.
What you're saying, Robert, that with all these other forms, short of dropping it, there's always a you to do it. And when it comes to dropping it, you're speaking like consciousness to consciousness.
Yes.
What it really does is eliminate the illusory notion of a separate you totally out of one moment.
Correct. It's all done in a split second. In the now.
So it kind of gets rid of the idea that there's anything left to do.
And you left to do anything.
It doesn't really get rid of the idea. If the idea was there, you wouldn't be able to drop it. Forget about ideas. Forget about everything. Just drop it. Forget about the you or the I. Drop it.
That's the ultimate in simplicity.
Of course, I can't make it any simpler than that. You all want me to explain all kinds of things to you? if I explain the things to you in a technical way like you like, I'll pull you deeper into Maya.
Yeah.
That's why I ask you so often, why do I sit here like this? Talking to a bunch of Albanian peasants.
With no cows.
I guess dropping it is so easy for you. You like to make things complicated.
It's too direct, it's too straight, it's too naked.
Hitting a home run, you have to learn how to hit a single first, a double, a triple. It's hard to learn how to hit the ball out of the ballpark right away.
Who has to hit a home run? Who has to go in a single or a double or a triple? There's nobody left to do that. Don't you feel good now when you drop it? Help you with this. As you're sitting here listening to me, as you sit in the silence and thoughts come to you, keep saying, drop it to yourself. Whenever any thoughts come to you, say, drop it. Whether the thoughts are good or bad, whatever they may be, whatever you feel, say, drop it.
And that's on a higher level than inquiry?
Yes. Inquiry is a method. It is a teaching.
Isn't telling yourself to drop it a method?
No, because there's nothing behind it, there's nothing before it. There's nothing you're saying, nothing, who am I, or what is this? What does drop it mean?
It's like saying off with their head. Off with your head.
Yeah. It's direct.
The Red Queen.
The Red Queen, yeah.
It's not similar to self-inquiry. Self-inquiry is negating things, right? When you drop it, it's similar.
And drop it is no analyzation. It's just a blunt statement. Drop it.
So that's like trying to clear our mind.
You're not really trying to clear your mind. There's no mind to clear. You're just saying, drop it without thinking of what you're doing. If you start thinking what it means, it will become very complicated again.
Is that similar to saying I am or I?
In a way, but not really. When you say I am, it's the name of God. When we get back into God and mythology and the rest of it. When you say drop it, it's simple language, two words. It means everything. It is the entire teaching, the entire Advaita Vedanta.
It's a command to wake up.
Yes, sure.
Direct command to wake up.
Exactly. So tomorrow when you find yourself complicated at work or thinking about some problem, remind yourself and say, drop it. I forget about the whole thing.
What if it happened to be in,
If
you happen to be asking, who am I, and then wait in the silence, is that the entire teaching also?
That's a sadhana.
Silence?
The spiritual discipline. Is who am I. The silence is dropping. If you can stay in the silence. If you can remain in the silence, there's no need to say dropping.
No, I said, if you say, who am I, and remain in the silence, is that not the entire teaching, the silence?
The silence is the entire teaching, yes.
Which could come from ostensibly starting off with self-inquiry, could it not?
Oh, of course, yes. That's what I mentioned before. We've been here for a while. We've been practicing self-inquiry. We've been practicing witnessing. We've been doing sadhana. Now we're ready to drop it.
All I've done is been turning the mind.
Yes.
Even drop it would be to use it as a mantra.
Yes.
It shoves you out of the mind. Permanently.
Good thing.
Yeah, drop it. That's a good idea, isn't it?
Sure. There's no time well on it.
We see real freedom, huh?
Of course. We have announcements.
Yes, Rami. scripts to hand out. We have some willing participants.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
We'll get some delicious pasta.